Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and the truth of God and the right understanding of the Bible. Why is evil rampant today? It seems to be everywhere in the world. You can't get away from it.
Dead bodies too numerous to count, violent attacks, unrest, and anger against political institutions took a toll on the global economy last year, costing trillions of dollars worldwide, including in the United States. The political division in the U.S. since the 2016 election, combined with tensions over police-involved deaths, as well as a rise in homicides and terrorism incidents, has caused a decline in peacefulness in the United States. Report indicates a record high 23 countries are now witnessing a historic increase in levels of terrorism. Syria remains the least peaceful country for the fifth year running.
A sobering report shows that almost 260,000 people died of hunger during the last famine, and half of those, young children. As Tom Popick reports, the toll is much higher than anyone expected, and still, help is hard to find.
In a sprawling camp on the outskirts of Mogadishu, the cries of famine continue. Survivors are still waiting for help. Mohammed Mahisu says this camp hasn't received aid in more than a year.
Did you know that this was prophesied some 2,800 years ago? And of course, this is the cycle of all nations. You look at history. And remember, all empires fall just after they reach their very height. So keep that in mind when you look around and see the different countries and different nations and what we're doing here. But let's ask the question, where was this prophecy and what did it say that we would be consumed with evil? Let's come to Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And isn't that the problem we have today? Everything has been turned upside down.
I thank God for bringing us together and know that everything happens for a reason. You are God's precious gift to me, and I couldn't be more grateful and full of joy to call you my soulmate.
Who put darkness for light and light for darkness? Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? Woe unto those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight.
John, it is so wonderful to me to look at my brother and see him at his best when he is with you. I see love, I see joy, and I see happiness.
Yes, we don't need God. God doesn't exist. The law is done away. The Old Testament is the old law, and we don't need it today. Yet, these are the very words which tell us exactly why the world today is the way that it is. Woe to those who are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, and you can add into that drugs, etc., who justify the wicked for a bribe. Isn't it interesting that America is now finding out there are two levels of justice? One for the peons and another for the elite. That if we would do what some of the famous elite in America have done, we would be in jail. But they're off scot-free with their millions and millions of dollars.
Bill Cosby's sex assault retrial has now been postponed until next year. And this time, the disgraced comedian is bringing in some heavy hitters. Stephen Fabian tells us about the high-profile lawyer Cosby has now hired to lead his new legal team.
Bill Cosby hires a powerhouse to be his new lawyer. Mesereau is no stranger to high-profile trials. He famously won an acquittal for Michael Jackson back in 2005 during the singer's child molestation trial. Mesereau was also on actor Robert Blake's legal team during his murder trial. Blake was acquitted of killing his wife.
Evil personified. And take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. So here's what God says. This is what awaits this kind of society, and we will see who is behind it. But first, verse 24. Therefore, as fire devours the stubble and flame burns up the chaff, their root shall be like rottenness, and their blossom shall go up like dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. They never stop and think, oh, they like to say God is love, which he is, and that is true. But God also is judge, and God is also lawgiver. And if you have laws, then you have to have penalties for breaking them. Otherwise, there's no law, and you have lawlessness, which we have in the world today. But no, we can't have God. Nah, none of that mythology stuff. All right, then think if you can solve the problem. And where and how far is all of this evil coming? Let's go clear to the book of Revelation. Revelation 12. And this is a scripture you might learn very well yourself and memorize, because it is true and ongoing and being done every minute of every day leading up to the return of Christ. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan. Now, what is he doing? He is a great spirit being that is the power of evil everywhere in the earth, and he has many helpers called demons who are fallen angels. And let's see. His major purpose right here, who is deceiving the whole world. Now, let me read that again. The whole world. Now, think about that. Are you deceived? And if so, how much? And how did that happen? And why do you do what you do? Think on that. Deceiving the whole world. Now, there was quite a famous newscaster who has since passed. His name, Paul Harvey. And he was quite a righteous man in his own way. He gave a little address one time entitled, If I Were the Devil. So let's listen to his words and let's see what insight that Paul Harvey had and how he perfectly described all this time, even after his death, of how in America we are being deceived. So listen carefully.
If I were the devil, I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else could appear dull and uninteresting. I threatened TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I peddled narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I tranquilized the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. What'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey, If I Were the Devil.
Now, what did you think of that? Does that not describe our society today and America today? And yet people say, well, we're reaching greater heights. We're doing better. Really? Look at the crime. Look at all of the drugs. Look at all the sexual perversions. Look at the lying and cheating and stealing and murdering. Look at the flood of illegal immigrants coming into the land, which, by the way, also was prophesied because of our sins. But how is it that people get hooked on Satan the devil? Huh? How does that happen? Well, let's come to 2 Corinthians, and let's see what the Bible describes him, because he is very sinister indeed, and yet he appears to people as someone who brings a benefit. And with that, he deceives. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, let's read it. If our gospel is hidden, that is, the truth of God, Old and New Testament, is the gospel. Hidden. That means that people don't want it, can't find it, and don't understand it. Now, Satan has done that, because as Paul Harvey said, the first place he would start would be where? In the churches. Now, that's quite an amazing thing, isn't it? Now, that's another reason why we have church at home, because 99% of the churches in the world that people are knowledgeable of are deceived one way or the other by Satan the devil. Let's go on. It is hidden to those who are perishing, in whom the god of this age or world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. I want to tell you a spiritual truth that you need to think about in your life, and that is this. Whenever you read something in the Bible that's easy to understand and you reject it, you put blinders on your eyes automatically, and you set yourself up as a victim for Satan the devil. Now, that's an automatic living law, just like the law of gravity. So when any minister tells you that the law has been done away, He doesn't even understand the basis of the laws of God, because if you read the Ten Commandments, they're all based on love. Love to God, love to neighbor, love to your family, love to your children. So you read the Ten Commandments, go to Exodus, and you find out what you think is wrong with the Ten Commandments. You won't find it, because they're all based on love and they're all good. All right? In whom the god of this age or world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How does he come? Well, he has ministers who corrupt the word of God and say that it doesn't mean what it says. So let's read it right here. Verse 17, chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians. For we are not like the many who for their own profit are corrupting the word of God. And that's exactly what they do. And what is the biggest corruption of all? Well, if you watch Church at Home for any length of time, you know it's the Sabbath, the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, that's the seventh day of the week. Okay. And they've been all deceived into believing that that one commandment of the ten has been eliminated for the convenience of Sunday. One of the greatest satanic lies. And how many people believe it? Just like Paul Harvey said, corrupt the church, then corrupt the government, then corrupt the schools, then corrupt the children, and we are going to see Satan is now there, active and busy to get your children at the youngest age possible. So how does he do it? 2 Corinthians 11. Paul's writing to the Corinthians because they were having those coming in right then, bringing lies and heresies as soon as the church was being formed. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 11. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. Now he's very, very crafty indeed, because Satan always comes to bring a benefit. Always comes to bring you something that you can gain without having to submit to God. Oh, that's very convenient, right? Yes, indeed. So that your minds might be corrupted. That's what Satan wants to do. Corrupt your minds, your thoughts, your emotions, your actions, your very way of life, from the simplicity that is in Christ. So here's how it started. Someone always comes bringing a message, and Satan is the one who sends them. For indeed, if someone comes preaching another Jesus, and there are many false Jesuses out there, and the Jesus that is portrayed on the cross, suffering on the cross, is a fake Jesus, because Jesus was so battered and bruised you couldn't even recognize him. Whom we did not preach, or you received a different spirit, and that different spirit is from Satan the devil, which you did not receive, that is from Paul and his other workers, or a different gospel which you did not accept. You put up with it as something good. Oh, this is enlightenment. What a wonderful thing. Quite a different tale. And all of those now, you see, the servants of Satan are many, in many different places, in government, in school, in economics, in churches, in religion, in small towns and large cities, because he has his workers and demons everywhere. But here's how they come. There's always someone preaching about something that is good. But when you compare it with the Word of God, it is evil. Verse 13, 2 Corinthians 11. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. And who is the father of lies? None other than Satan the devil. Who are transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, but they're not. And it is no marvel, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his servants also transform themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now let's see what's happening today. Satan is after your children. He wants them. A children's book of demons. Yes! Teach your little children to get in touch with demons. Oh, that would be so nice. And they say they're gentle demons.
Hey, everybody, it's Corydon, huh? Looks like he's got a banana in his hand and a horn in the other, like making light of this. But guess who Corydon is a representation of? He's also known as Abizu in Hebrew, Kronos in Greek, and Moloch to the Canaanites. And this is what they're teaching to children.
And here's one. Demon and devil stories for children. They are out and on the shelves today. At Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target, and Amazon. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, these new books are billed as playful guides teaching children how to summon demons for personal benefit. Isn't that true? You go back and examine what happened to Adam and Eve. They fell because they believed the lie of Satan that they would be benefited. Now, here is what they're doing. They want to introduce your children to devil worship. Quite a thing. Integrates a hands-on craft element into a playful guide that invites readers to conjure gentle demons by writing their seagulls. Now, seagulls are kind of like a telephone number, and that telephone number can be in colors or in certain demons. You draw the demons here, and the demons will come.
A sigil chart. So let's teach all the kids out there about satanic sigil. I mean, you can't make this up, can you? Can you? It says Aaron Layton is an award-winning illustrator and art director, as well as a fan of all things occult. Look what he writes on the side. Don't want to take out the trash tonight? Maybe you're swimming in homework. Perhaps that big bully is being a real drag. Well, grab your colored pencils and sigil drawing skills and dial up some demons. Be careful. Even if these spirits are more silly than scary, they are still demons. Ha ha ha. If he tried to write this book 100 years ago, you think Aaron would be around to talk about it?
Unfortunately, Lefton is far from alone in capitalizing on the post-Christian. That is, now we are no longer a Christian society, which is true. We have been marginally Christian for a long time, but now, oh, we don't need Christianity. We've already covered out how many times, right? And where does it start? Just like Paul Harvey said, in the churches, in the government, in the schools, in the universities. And look what the universities are turning out today. Hateful, mindless, communist. Post-Christian West spiritual decay and test for occult titillation. For instance, in 2016, there was the television series Lucifer, which puts a positive spin on Satan and portrays God as a stern killjoy.
I got it. The name, the whole Lucifer thing, and desires like your superpower.
It's more like a gift from God, really.
What is it you desire? What do you desire?
What is it you all desire?
Get rich
Instagram model.
Make people feel good.
I just want to be alone,
my own
man.
Boss.
With video games.
What did you desire? What do you desire?
I do want to watch it all burn.
Right. Then fire away. Go, 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 go.
Here's some of the other films that have been there. Charmed, American Horror Story, The Coven. These dark elements are also entering government and public spaces. Satanic invocations at government assembly meetings, pagan pride days in many locales, satanic Christmas season displays, a satanic monument in a veterans memorial park, and you have in Detroit and you have in Canada a statue, an image of Satan, and it has children there looking up at Satan for enlightenment.
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
The truth is, you throw away God, and the Bible, and Satan moves in. There is a satanic monument in the Veterans Memorial Park, and the U.S. Naval Academy midship are now having a satanic temple room. Think of that.
An upturned helmet atop a black cube will soon be at the site of the Veterans Memorial Park in Belle Plaine. It's being built by a group of Satanists out of Massachusetts.
Said they were putting it up, and I did not like it.
Also, exorcisms are now on the rise, and the faithful may say it's because we're taking hell into our arms, or that is, into our bosoms and into our minds. And into our children. And this concern was reflected in the Amazon review of Children's Demon Book. One incredulous reviewer, Marbell, warned parents that demons are evil and they don't care about your children. They are liars and deceivers. They follow Satan and want you and your children to do the same. For sure, it's all fun and games until he's got you. Now, in addition to this, you need to realize that this has been building up. Now, we'll cover this a little more in the next segment. How did this happen? And here we are. Now, you look at the television and look at all the evil and occult that is there. You look at the games and the digital games, the video games, the board games, and all of those things that children have. And all of those are to draw them away from God and draw them to Satan the devil, giving them what seems like a benefit and fun. And guess what? Bam! If they keep at it, their lives are totally taken over. Yes. How do we get so evil? Evil is rampant. Because we've done away with God. We've done away with the truth. We've done away with the Bible. And too many people who should be preaching the truth of the Bible are preaching fairy tales out of the Bible and are lying to those who listen and follow them. So this is why we have church at home. Church at Home is one of the only places that you can find the truth, not tainted with lies and traditions and superstitions. So I hope this helps you, and I hope that you follow the different segments we have on Church at Home, and that you begin to turn your life over to God the Father and Jesus Christ, and that you come out of this evil world. So once again, this is Fred Calder saying, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, saying so long everyone.